Since the beginning of the enemy's recent major offensive in South Vietnam, more and more Marine units in the Da Nang area have been experiencing attacks by devastating rockets, ranging in size from the smaller B-40 anti-tank projectile to the powerful 122mm rocket. In retaliation to these attacks, Marine artillerymen around the sprawling complex at Da Nang pour murderous counter-battery fire on rocket sites, attempting to silence the enemy rocket launchers before they can send any more than one or two rockets at Marine positions. One such artillery unit is Hotel Battery of the 4th Battalion, 11th Marine Regiment, who in a recent rocket attack poured 143 rounds of 105mm artillery fire at enemy launching sites. Colonel R.W. McDaniel, the battery commander, will tell us about that night. Since the beginning of the enemy's recent major offensive in South Vietnam, more and more Marine units in the Da Nang area have been experiencing attacks by devastating rockets, ranging in size from the smaller B-40 anti-tank projectile to the powerful 122mm rocket. In retaliation to these attacks, Marine artillerymen around the sprawling complex at Da Nang pour murderous counter-battery fire on rocket sites, attempting to silence the enemy rocket launchers before they can send any more than one or two rockets at Marine position. One such artillery unit is G Battery of the 3rd Battalion, 11th Marine Regiment, who, in a recent rocket attack, poured 380 rounds of 105mm artillery fire at enemy launching sites. First Lieutenant Thomas P. Ruane, battery commander on that night, will tell us about it.
Well, it started around 0100 when we spotted the initial flashes, which came from a village about 3,000 meters to our southwest. We immediately laid the battery on that particular azimuth and waited for the grid to come in from a forward observer. It was only about a minute or two when we received the grid and we had the data on the guns ready to shoot. We poured several hundred rounds into this one rocket site and we received three large secondary explosions and numerous smaller ones. Also, at the same time, they were firing rockets a few thousand meters to the northwest, and we split the battery and returned fire on this site also. On this particular site, we only fired around 50 rounds because the tanks and the 106s had already commenced fire on this area, and they had pretty much put these rockets out of action before we got to them. We were pretty well prepared this particular evening because earlier they had spotted a large group of NVA and elements of the enemy moving in our area, so we were all up and ready to fire because from past experience, whenever we have spotted large groups of enemy early in the evening, they've launched rockets or mortar attacks.
Lieutenant Ruane, perhaps you can explain to us just about how long it took your gun crews to get out to their 105mm artillery pieces and begin returning fire at the enemy.
Well, it just took a matter of seconds because they were sleeping in the parapets and in the holes adjacent to the guns. Now, it just took a matter of 1 or 2 minutes before we were returning fire on the rocket positions. This particular attack was a little bit easier to return fire than the previous ones because we could see the rocket sites itself right from our position. They were less than 3,000 meters from our area, so it was just a matter of seconds to lay the guns in this direction, and there were plenty of forward observers out on patrol that night, and we had the data down to them within 2 or 3 minutes.
Lieutenant Ruane, perhaps you can explain to us something about the Marine Corps' counter-battery radar, which I understand you employ on these rocket sites.
Concerning this counter-battery radar, this evening, of this particular rocket attack, we employed it against the mortar sites more than the rockets because we were receiving mortar fire while these rockets were being fired, and the trajectory of the rocket did not cut the beams of the radar, so we were unable to pick up the rockets right away, but we did pick up the incoming mortar rounds, and we were able to fire on the enemy mortar sites within a few minutes. The particular radar that is on our position is strictly a counter-mortar radar. It cannot pick up the rockets unless the thing cuts through both beams of its radar, and on this particular evening, this did not occur.
Well, Lieutenant, perhaps you can tell us something about the range of the 105mm artillery piece that G battery uses, and the size of the projectile that's being aimed at enemy rocket and mortar sites.
Well, the range of the 105 is 11,000 meters, and the size of our round, the 105 HE round, weighs approximately 35 pounds. To give you an idea of its weight, and it's approximately 2 feet in length. Now, this has proved quite effective in counter rocket fire, counter mortar fire. What one of our greatest weapons is the use of a veritable time fuse, which causes an air burst. On rocket attacks in the past, we have used these VT fuses, and we have actually knocked rockets out of the air with this type of fuse. When it bursts over top of the site, and when the rockets are going off, it has hit them and caused them to pre-detonate or to lose its course.
Well, Lieutenant, one of the common failings, I understand, of Marine artillerymen in combat is the fact that they very seldom get to view the results of their damage, usually firing at, as you say, 11,000 meters or perhaps even farther distant. Can you give us some of your feelings about firing at such ranges and not being able to actually realize the effects?
Concerning this, it's frustrating at times when you are not able to see your target, and the cannon cockers more or less dream of a day when they will be able to fire direct fire into the enemy, have him coming right at them where they can see the results of their actions immediately. And one of the big things that's good for their morale and always keeps them hopping a little faster is when the infantrymen or the forward observer who are adjusting this mission calls back and tells the cannoneers exactly what they're doing, more or less gives us a surveillance, tells us how many people we have killed or how many people he thinks we have killed, and in the case of rockets and mortars, the number of secondary explosions and the frequency of them.
Corporal James N. Pike of G Battery was the section chief on gun number one on that night. Corporal Pike speaks about the fire mission and the reactions of his gun crew.
On this night when these rocket attacks occurred, the men on my crew seemed to respond quickly on the rocket sites. The battery was laid quick. There was no, and before this has happened, before we, beforehand, we've had plenty of rocket attacks similar to this on denying, and we've experienced these attacks, and we've been able to react real fast. The men is alert when things happen like this. They are it's something that they're used to. I mean, in the past, rocket attacks, and while we were firing on these rockets, we were also receiving heavy mortar fire all along our perimeter and a few along the gun line. This mortar attack didn't bother the men too much because most of they sweat the rockets. The rocks are the biggest thing over here. Well, in laying, it took us about just a matter of minutes after we had sighted the rockets to lay the battery on them, and we started firing right offhand. As we was firing, these mortars were coming in. The VC were dropping mortars around our guns, and this didn't bother the men too much. They were still able to work on the weapon with their can't think what to say.
Well, Corporal Pike, can you tell us exactly how many men are in a 105mm artillery crew and some of the functions of each member of the crew?
Well, in the 105 section, we have a 10-section man. That's TO is 10-section, 10 men. But over here, we run short of men, so it usually runs about 6 to 7 men in the section. You have your section chief, and under him you have an assistant section chief. There's an A gunner and a gunner on the gun. Also, you have a loader and a fuse and a charge cutter man. All these men on the section are able to work each part of the weapon in case of, say, some man gets injured or something, he can quickly take over the other man's job. This is something that each new man learns when he comes to the battery, because you can never tell when this man might have to take this other man's job.
Well, Corporal Pike, the area around the Da Nang Air Base and the sprawling Marine complex at Da Nang has been hit quite frequently in the past with enemy rockets. Can you tell us something about the duty status of your crews? Are they constantly on the alert, and if so, do they sleep near the guns, or how do you accomplish such quick reaction time?
Well, they definitely alert, because in the past they've experienced plenty of rocket attacks, as I said before. We usually get intelligence reports, and that puts everybody on alert for, say, 2 or 3 days when these reports come in. And that usually, the men usually stay around the pits just so they can react as quickly as possible on the gun. This, in the past, most of them, I believe, now would rather sleep in the pits than down in the tent, because just taking that chance from running to the tent with the gun is a lot better chance you'll ever get hit. So most of them sleep up in a parapet.
Well, Corporal Pike, one of the main problems expressed by Marine artillerymen here in Vietnam is the fact that they are firing at quite a distance from the target, or the enemy rocket or mortar launching site. Can you give us some of your feelings about not being able to actually be there to see the results of your artillery fire?
Well, sometimes on this case, you fire constantly for an hour or so, but when the intelligence reports come in on this, on what our mission has been, and they give us confirmed kills, and probably it really has a morale booster to the men. They seem to work a little better, and they really feel like they're doing a good part in this war over here. When they feel that they've really helped somebody out, like helping patrol out, or somebody that's really in trouble out there, we know they're in trouble. We really like to get on them fast and help them out.
Field artillery is indeed the unsung hero for Marines under rocket attack. Marine cannoneers pour great quantities of rounds through their artillery pieces each time a rocket attack occurs. They receive a much warranted well done for their efforts, but rarely do they get the opportunity to view the effect of their counter-battery fire on enemy rocket sites. Recently, however, a patrol from B Company of the 1st Battalion, 7th Marine Regiment, was able to follow hurtling artillery projectiles from G Battery into an enemy rocket site. Staff Sergeant Ray H. Scott, the patrol leader, describes what they found at the enemy rocket site. Recently, Marines from B Company, 1st Battalion, 7th Marine Regiment, were on patrol around Hill 10 when enemy rockets began to hit the area. Staff Sergeant Ray H. Scott describes how it feels to have friendly artillery fire and perhaps take you out of danger in the field.
Well, immediately when the rockets started firing, somebody was really on the ball. Because when we seen the first flashes, we started calling in the areas that the rockets were coming from. And as we was calling in, this arty fire was going out. And we witnessed some secondary explosions, and not only from the arty, but we had some tanks on a hill that was to our northeast, and they was firing some overhead fire right over our heads, and it was with a telling effect.
Well, Sergeant Scott, you've led Marines in combat, and I'm sure you've experienced the devastating and frightening experience of being under rocket and mortar attack. Can you reach into your mind and tell us how it feels to have Marine artillery in support of you and perhaps take the pressure off out there?
Feels real fine. At times, it's really music to your ears, especially when you know Charlie's out there with his mortars and rockets and he's after you, and you hear them big booms of your own guns going off and knowing it's at least helping stop Charlie from launching them rockets and mortars to come in on you. And these gents do these gents here and already do a real fine job, and I'm glad they're on our side.
Marine Sergeant Gary S. Andrews was the platoon sergeant on that patrol. He describes how it feels to have friendly artillery pinning down the enemy as he's pinning you down.
Well, I'm sure glad they were out there on our side and instead of the VC shooting back at us. The mortars and their rockets don't seem to be real effective, not anywhere near as effective as our artillery. They seem to just shoot them up and hope they land in the right place. And our artillery, when we call in and tell them where to shoot, and they know where to shoot, it lands right there. It's on, always on target. It always gets there quick, and I'm sure glad we have them.
Well, Sergeant Andrews, earlier when we spoke to Marine artillerymen, they expressed the opinion that many times they are... many times following a fire mission, they wish that they could view the results of their artillery fire in support of Marines on the ground. Can you tell us perhaps some of the artillery fire missions that you've seen and the results of them?
Well, usually they're on target when we check the area out, the area we've called in, and they're really, areas are really tore up. Depends on what size of artillery they use. This 105 battery that we're talking about now, they seem to make a real good size hole, especially the airburst that the lieutenant was talking about before earlier. They're real effective. They seem to spread the area out, cover the area out more, throw shrap metal all over the area. And there's usually not anything left of the area that they hit, and usually no people get out of the area either.
Being under enemy rocket attack is dangerous and unpleasant at best. But with quick-reacting Marine artillerymen standing constant vigil to give the enemy a rapid taste of his own medicine, it's a lot safer. From the headquarters of G Battery of the 3rd Battalion, 11th Marine Regiment near Da Nang, Vietnam, this has been your Marine Corps reporter, Sergeant Dale Dye of the 1st Marine Division.